I'd call to order the August 26th Lawrence Douglas County Metropolitan Planning Commission meeting. I'd like to start with thanking everybody for being here this evening. And I know we don't have too many agenda items, but one of the agenda items has several parts. And so we will be going through those. We'll be taking a vote one by one, but we will treat the presentation as a comprehensive presentation and questioning. So those of you that are here for public comment for item one, when we have the public hearing portion of it, please feel free to present your comments and questions based on any of those sub bullet points or the different parts of item one. Start by going over the receiving and amending or approve the minutes from our July 22nd meeting. Is there any discussion or motion? Okay, so moved. Is there a second? Okay, Commissioner Britton. Any further discussion on the meeting minutes from July 22nd prior to voting? All those in favor, please raise your hand. All those opposed? Any abstentions? Three abstentions. All right. Moving on to committee reports that met over the past month. I'll report out on the MPO. I had my first MPO meeting this last week. And so there's a whole new set of acronyms to try and familiarize myself with. But we talked about the updates and received some project memo updates, and then the multimodal transportation studies project, talked about that and how that's coming along, and they gave us somewhat of a timeline of having that, you know, the reports and studies completed by year end or later this fall. And they also made some changes. We made some changes to the Metropolitan Transportation Plan to take in account for the new design for K-10 and US 40 interchange. And so there are some amendments and changes to that plan. A lot of the rest of the MPO was just project updates and reporting out on where the status of a lot of these ongoing projects. We will not meet in September, but we'll reconvene again in October for the MPO. So any other committee report outs at this point? And I neglected to start off with this, but I do want to welcome our newest planning commissioner, Commissioner Struckhoff. Did I pronounce that correctly? Okay. And so now today, as of today, we have full commission. So good shape. Welcome.
Thank you.
Communications. Receive any written communications from the public?
Posted,
okay. And then any communications from staff, planning commissioners, or other commissioners?
I think we received anything there.
Any written action or waiver request determinations made by the city engineer? Okay. Disclosure of ex parte communications. To report out. Okay, seeing none, we'll move on. abstentions from specific agenda items by commissioners? Agenda?
I'm going to abstain from the first item due to my employment by USD 497.
Thank you, Commissioner Kelly. And when that presentation starts, we'll ask you to go to the back room.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I might just, for the record, note that the school district is actually part of the application on those items for Langston Commons.
Thank you. All right. Without further ado, we'll move into our first agenda item, which is a public hearing item. And Sandra is going to present that for us.
Thank you. I'm Sandra Day. I'm the planning staff. This item you have this evening, hang on just a moment here, make sure everything's. There we go. This application includes six separate rezoning requests as well as a preliminary plat. The property is located within the west of K-10 planning area, and we've kind of highlighted it on the slide. That plan calls for a mix of low-density residential uses that include both attached and detached housing, and then also an area identified for commercial zoning, a neighborhood commercial, at the intersection of Bob Billings Parkway and K-10. And that recommendation was for neighborhood-scale commercial. A retail market study was submitted with the application, and staff is here to address that if you do have any questions regarding that application. We don't have a specific development plan for the commercial or for the multifamily pieces at this point in time, but the application did include a couple of concept plans to give you an idea of the type of development that is contemplated for this area. The property is located within the West Lawrence neighborhood area, and specifically a sub-part of that neighborhood between 6th Street and Bob Billings Parkway, located to the west of George Williams Way. The street network that you see in the preliminary plat started with the Diamond Head subdivisions to the north towards 6th Street, were extended through the Langston Heights subdivision that you considered a couple months ago, and then continued through the Langston Commons subdivision, providing that connectivity all the way down to Bob Billings Parkway. The piece that's shown kind of in a dashed line to Kenridge Drive would be extended at some point in the future when the RM24 piece is ever proposed for development, or when it's proposed for development in the future. The application includes approximately 4 acres of zoning for open space, and this occurs at the very south end of the subject property, adjacent to the highway and adjacent to Bob Billings Parkway. It will serve the purpose of providing not only open space and detention and stormwater runoff features. The applicant has indicated that they intend to design that feature integrally into the commercial development, as well as providing an opportunity to have non-motorized connectivity between this area and the recreation park along K-10 Highway. The next several slides highlight the various zoning requests that you have individual staff reports for. The two detached zonings are the RS5 and the RS7 areas, and they're extending that pattern, as you see, from the Langston Heights subdivision that we considered. Okay. Then we have the RM12D area kind of in the center of this subdivision, and it is oriented, as you can see in the subdivision plat, with a short cul-de-sac, and so those lots form internally to that cul-de-sac, and that starts to bridge and provide a transition between the commercial areas to the south and the lower density residential areas further to the northeast. The applications also include the extension of the RM12 zoning district along that area, along the K-10 highway, as we saw previously, for some expected row housing type of development that does fall under the category of multifamily. It's a relatively small area of the overall request. And then we showed you earlier the open space piece, but then also the commercial zoning. I do want to direct your attention to a communication we received from the League of Women Voters indicating that they had some concerns or comments about access that was shown on the preliminary plat. And we have had discussions with our city engineer, with our traffic engineer, as well as traffic planning staff, taking a look at these access locations. While we did not evaluate them with regard to a specific development, the overall concept of where they're proposed is not problematic for staff. We certainly will be looking more closely at them when we have more specific development proposals to go along with that. Evidently, when the communication was received and was uploaded, only the letter got uploaded the first time, so there is an exhibit that goes with that where the League, I think, highlighted or circled The different access points, they're the same access points that are highlighted on this slide. To go back, the proposed commercial zoning is for CN2, which is the neighborhood commercial zoning. The property includes some existing commercial today. It's PCD. It was approved a number of years ago with the extension of 15th Street, which is now Bob Billings Parkway. And that boundary really followed what those property lines were at that time. This proposed request does modify that commercial boundary in response to where the proposed streets will be and providing a hard edge and establishing a definitive boundary to where that commercial area will be located along Bob Billings Parkway. It provides a division or definition between the commercial and the non-commercial uses in that area. The access points are generally aligned with where there is shared access easements that are intended to be created through this large lot. We are seeing this subdivision with the commercial piece as a single large lot. It is expected or anticipated that at some point in the future, this lot would come back and be further subdivided again when there's a little bit more known detail about how that property would develop. The parcel lines could probably follow the center line of what those access easements are, unless there's a user that comes in there and wants more or less area. But access will be considered with those applications. We do have one recommendation regarding the preliminary plat, and that was to revise it to show no access to Bob Billings Parkway or to K-10 Highway. Those seem obvious, but as properties turn over, we want to make it very clear that direct access to the highway or access to Bob Billings Parkway other than Langston Way is not to be contemplated for this property. Staff's recommendation is for approval. There are no conditions associated with any of the zoning requests, and the one condition I just noted regarding the preliminary plat. I know the applicant is here to address any questions that you have. Staff is here if you have questions regarding the retail market study.
Sandra?
Sure.
At this point, would the applicant like to make their presentation? And I think we agreed on 20 minutes. Is that adequate?
Yeah, thank you, commissioners. 20 minutes will be adequate. My name is Brian Sturm, and I'm a landscape architect at Land Plan Engineering here in town, and I'm here tonight on behalf of the property owners of this subject property, Alfamar Incorporated and USD 497, as well as on behalf of the contract purchaser and prospective developer of this property, and that's RSR Development. As Sandy mentioned in her presentation, Langston Commons, and I've tried to outline it. That's fine. So I've tried to outline it here on this sort of location map. Langston Commons is essentially an extension of Langston Heights, a project whose preliminary plat received approval by this body back in January, and whose rezonings were approved unanimously by the City Commission in February. And in general, the transitional zoning approved with the Langston Heights project, just to the north there, are more or less continued right on down the South Lawrence Traffic Way to the interchange with Bob Billings Parkway under this proposal that's before you tonight, Langston Commons. And I'll state that the Bob Billings Parkway interchange with K-10 Highway is a project near on the horizon. It's scheduled to run between 2014 and 2016 by KDOT, and it's a certainty, especially with last week's approval of contributing funds by the Douglas County Board of County Commissioners and the Lawrence City Commission. Langston Commons, the preliminary plat and the rezoning request before you tonight are essentially the backbone of a neighborhood here that has been designed with community expectations in mind. Now, in this slide here on the left-hand side, I'm depicting The recommended land uses, the land uses recommended by the West of K-10 plan. You see generally a neighborhood commercial node at the corner with what will soon be this interchange, and then transition from that to the north with low-density residential land uses. On the right is would be the proposed zoning with the Langston Commons development. And essentially it does what the West of K-10 plan has asked of developers of this property by creating a neighborhood commercial center and then transitioning to the north with low-density residential land uses. It provides, you know, thoughtful transitions both from west to east as you're traveling from the high-intensity use that is the highway towards the lower intensity uses of Langston Hughes School and Diamond Head. It provides transitions from north to south as we move from a mix of different uses proposed with Langston Heights, moving on south towards this interchange between Bob Billings and K-10. And furthermore, provides appropriate densities as recommended by the plan. All the residential uses up there have a collective density of 5.5 units per acre. Six is what's recommended, a maximum of six. The neighborhood commercial is completely in line with what's recommended. And moreover, it provides through open space zoning and some of those access easements that Sandy mentioned, a number of connections between all of these uses and community green space in the form of the SLT shared use path. And as Sandy also mentioned, it's in your packet, obviously, RSR has produced a couple of different concept plans that generally suggest the form that this subdivision could take pending approval of the preliminary plat and the rezoning requests. And they generally both show a neighborhood that transitions from low-density single-family uses in terms of the proposed RS7 and RS5 zoning districts down to a neighborhood commercial center and the SLT interchange. And in between you have transitional areas in terms of a townhome cul-de-sac here, a block of row home development. And then again, the OS zoning, the open space zoning, which we proposed for essentially the southwest perimeter of the development, not only ensures that you know, development of the SLT rec path can happen and the connections to that rec path can happen through this property. It also ensures that there's space for a community-wide stormwater facility, which would essentially be a wet pond that would be the sort of anchor point for this commercial development, something that would handle stormwater not only from the Langston Heights development, from the entire watershed, which extends roughly all the way north to 6th Street, west to more or less the center of the SLT, and east upwards into the Diamond Head neighborhood and the Langston Hughes School property. The preliminary plat reinforces the connections to the open space, as I mentioned and Sandy discussed, by providing access easements not only through the commercial node, the commercial portion of the project, but as well through the multifamily portion of the project here, just again to ensure that there's connection not only from this development to the SLT, but from the surrounding neighborhoods that would be able to travel through this street net, this internal street network, and find their way to that community amenity as well. Sandy mentioned her discussion of the sort of boundaries given to our commercial, our neighborhood commercial zoning district, those being essentially the street network that's part of this preliminary plat. And I wanted to make mention that the placement of those streets, specifically this north-south street over here, and then the east-west street here, that's Langston Way on the north-south, Renaissance Drive on the east-west, the placement of those streets is in fact the result of a memorandum of understanding that was drafted during the winter, and it's between KDOT, Alvimar, and USD 497. It was approved by all of those property owners. in an effort to provide access to not only the school district's property, but the property owned by Alvimar in the face of this coming redevelopment of the area by KDOT. As they work to kind of finalize the design of their interchange, they sort of worked in conjunction with these two property owners to make sure that there was a place for access to these properties. And as a result of that memorandum of understanding, essentially the placement of this street and this street were conceived by those property owners in KDOT. As a result, obviously, this development will be able to take access to that road and to Bob Billings Parkway. Moreover, the school district will be able to, at a later date, create a secondary access for Langston Hughes School, an access from the school to the west and then down to Bob Billings. The secondary access will be the subject of a future site plan between the school district and the city for them to hash out, essentially. But its advent will be much welcomed by area residents and school parents. It's intended to relieve a good bit of congestion that exists today on the north and east periphery of Langston Hughes School. It's been the subject of a couple of different neighborhood meetings during the previous development, Langston Heights, as well as the neighborhood meeting that the developer was able to have as part of this project, Langston Commons. We were able to meet with area neighbors back in early July at Free State High School, and it was generally a positive meeting. So, commissioners, I'll close essentially by saying the applicant developer accept the recommendations and conditions provided by staff. In addition to myself, there's several representatives here tonight from RSR Development, the developer in this project. Bob Santee is here. Bob Santee is a lifelong Lawrence resident and experienced custom home builder and developer. In addition to Bob, Tim Herndon is here. Tim has been working in Lawrence for over 20 years as a community planner, landscape architect, site designer, and he is lending those skills to RSR as well. Also, the traffic engineer on our project, Mirdad Gavechi, who drafted and wrote the traffic study associated with this project, he's here. We're all available to answer any questions you might have. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. These are public hearing items, so at this point, I'd like to open it up to public comment. And if you could approach the podium, give your name and sign in. And if you're representing yourself, ask that you keep it to 3 minutes. If you're representing a group, you could have up to 5 minutes. See no public comment on these topics. I close the public hearing and bring it back up here to commissioners for questions of staff, of the applicant, so that we can further discuss. Commissioner Rasmussen?
Just a question about that. It shows that the hiking, biking trail is going to be moved on the preliminary plat on our page 98. It shows that hiking and biking trail is going to move. And I'm just wondering who's responsible for moving that and building the new one.
I believe that's part of the KDOT project for the interchange. I'm not sure what the construction negotiation is.
It looks like it's part within the property line, greenway boundary, and part outside of it.
Can I add some information to that? Sure. So, yeah, Commissioner Rasmussen, you're right. As part of the construction of the KDOT interchange, the SLT shared use path, the SLT path is going to move. Generally, the relocation of that path is all entirely within the scope of KDOT. That'll be reconstructed by KDOT contractors entirely. It is being relocated into inside what will be the outer boundary of the Langston Heights preliminary plat. It's located within the OS zoned area, and it's also located within, it's one of several easements on the plat. It'll be located within a permanent easement. access and right-of-way easement might be the exact term, that KDOT is essentially acquiring from Albemarle Incorporated. And so the area under which, around which that path sits will be eased. It'll be within an easement.
And then, is there going to be any access to that path other than the 15th Street?
Correct.
It's not really shown on the preliminary plat, but on the, on our page 90, it makes it look like there's some access in from the neighborhood or from the commercial area.
Right. It is. So there are three different access easements proposed with this plat that will function to carry not only pedestrian and yeah, that's right. There's a really good diagram in Sandy's presentation for that.
One of these, maybe?
Yeah. Sure. The yeah, right. The area shaded green in this slide is the area being proposed for OS zoning. The rec path is going to travel through that. And the diagram, the sort of on the left side of the slide, shows in that sort of mauve purple color there, access easements that are going to be dedicated through the commercial piece of land, and those will be those are being placed in there, and it's shown in detail actually on the concept plans to be able to provide pedestrian and bicycle sidewalks that would carry folks through the commercial property to the SLT. So there'd be two connections. There'd be one close to here, down here closer to Bob Billings, and as well one over here on the west side of the commercial property. And then the third easement, it's actually shown way up here on this side of the slide as well. That's an easement, that's a pedestrian access easement that, it'll, that would provide for a sidewalk through the RM12 zoned lot that would allow for pedestrian bicycle traffic through that property to the SLT rec path.
Other questions? Commissioner Von Hocken?
Could you put the slide of one of those concept slides back up there, please?
Sure.
Now, it talks about an over, a transportation overlay district in here. Could you talk, could you show us where that falls? I know it's east of Renaissance. And then what the implications are of having that overlay district in terms of your development?
Sure. So, yeah, the city's land development code sets out the not only the boundaries but the design standards for the K-10 transportation corridor overlay district, and it's essentially a district that overlays any zoning underneath it, and its parameters are starting at the center line of the South Lawrence Traffic Way and 500 feet in either direction. And so generally as we're moving from north to south, that 500 feet, you can't quite see center line really on these drawings of the SLT, although it's essentially the very edge of these drawings. 500 feet falls, can you see the cursor? Generally through the middle of the very first lot on the east side of Renaissance Drive. And that line pretty much continues on south, just as the SLT center line does. And it would cut through these lots here and generally through the western half of the commercial development. That transportation corridor overlay district sort of specifies really one thing and one thing only. It requires a 50-foot wide green space easement within any property platted immediately adjacent to SLT right-of-way. And so that 50-foot green space easement is subject to in Langston Heights, this piece of property here. In Langston Commons, the preliminary plat before you tonight, it would be subject to this lot right here, as well as essentially these lots down here. There's both the commercial node, which is lot 2, block 1, as well as this easement through here, which is tract A, block 1. So that 50-foot green space easement means you can't develop buildings, can't develop parking lots, can't develop anything paved or built. It's completely open, it's green. And then within that, there's a rather detailed planting requirement, a certain number of shade trees per linear foot, a certain number of coniferous evergreen trees per linear foot, a certain number of ornamental trees per linear foot. I don't have those figures right at me. But that's what would essentially happen within that space. Within this lot here, lot 1, block 1, which is slated for sort of a row home development, we'd have that 50-foot easement right here. It would essentially provide extra buffer between the noise and the use of the highway and then the parking garages of these units. As you move down to the commercial node, you can essentially follow that 50 feet. It sort of touches on the very northwest corner of what will be this commercial property, and then it'll be satisfied through the open space zoned tract A, block 1 there. It'll be incorporated, that landscaping will be incorporated within the SLT rec path and the commercial property just to its east.
Thank you.
Sure.
I do have one other question. You mentioned earlier that the average number of units per acre is 5.5. Is that the residential area, or does that include the open space, commercial space? What does that involve?
Well, that's the net density of all of the residentially zoned property within this preliminary plat. So it takes simply the gross acreage of the properties being zoned RS7, RS5, RM12D, RM12, subtracts out the area devoted to rights of way streets within that portion of the development, and then you have your net acreage, and you divide the total units by that. Yeah, it's the net acreage of just the residentially zoned property.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions?
I do have one follow-up question, and this could be for staff or the applicant, but the memorandum of understanding for the two roads, Renaissance Drive and then Langston, what was that one called?
Way.
Langston Way. Will those happen regardless of the timing of this potential development? Or how does that all coincide? Or do we know?
Yeah, Brian, maybe you could address that a little bit. We know that the KDOT city street portion is pretty solid. What happens as they get onto the property is a negotiated deal between owners.
Right. So KDOT is going to, as part of their interchange construction, they are actually going to construct the first 100 feet of street from Bob Billings going north, mm-hmm. essentially creating a very large apron for a future street. Simultaneously, as this project moves forward, as part of the final plat and the public improvement plans that have to be approved in conjunction with that final plat, Langston Way and Renaissance Drive will be designed and they'll ultimately be paid for and built for essentially by Alvimar, USD 497, and the developer RSR in some form of combination. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, and I guess it maybe the follow-up question, or to be a little more specific, is when we talked about Langston Heights previously to the north, you know, that was a discussion point, was access from a construction aspect of being able to access that property to the north.
Mm-hmm.
as it develops. Is that still the intended plan, and has anything changed there since we last visited it with Langston Heights?
Right. No, there's been no change to the agreement between RSR and basically the Diamond Head neighborhood that all construction traffic for Langston Heights, and it'll be the same essentially for Langston Commons, will proceed through these properties. Construction traffic will not travel through the existing Diamond Head neighborhood. And that construction traffic will definitely happen in advance of these roads being built, as we typically imagine roads. Mm-hmm. The work to clear much of this ground, do excavation for utilities, and to lay the beds and the road beds for these roads will proceed ahead of the roads themselves. And that will all happen through this property. And essentially what you would see in say the coming months through next year is if you were to fly over this, you'll see a road cut through here that'll be suitable for construction traffic. It won't follow exactly the route that we see here today, just because Langston Way is essentially a boundary line between this property and the school district. It'll be a little further west than that, but it will more or less follow that.
Okay.
Follow that route.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Other questions, commissioners? Okay. And we'll treat each of these agenda items as separate for voting but and discussion. So would entertain a motion or further discussion on the rezoning applications. Commissioner Lease?
Sure. Pretty straightforward. Starting with item 1A, I move to approve the request to rezone approximately 4.712 acres from urban reserve to a single dwelling residential district based on the findings of fact presented in the staff report, and forwarding it to the City Commission with recommendations for approval.
Okay, is there a second? Commissioner Graham?
I second.
Okay. Further discussion? Hearing none, call for a vote. All those in favor of the motion as stated, please raise your hand. All those opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Commissioner Lease?
Moving to item 1B, I move to recommend approval of the request to rezone approximately 2.674 acres from Urban Reserve District to Single Dwelling Residential RS5 based on the findings of fact presented in the staff report, forwarding it on to the City Commission with recommendations for approval.
Thank you. Is there a second? Commissioner Graham seconds. Further discussion prior to voting? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion as presented, please raise your hand. All those opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Commissioner Lease.
Moving to item 1C, I move to recommend approval of the request to rezone approximately 2.674 acres from Urban Reserve District to RM12D multi-dwelling residential district based on the findings of fact presented in the staff report and forwarding it to the City Commission with a recommendation for approval.
Okay, is there a second? Commissioner Graham seconds. Further discussion prior to voting? Hearing none, all those in favor, please raise your hand. All those opposed? Motion carries unanimously 8-0. You're on a roll.
Thank you very much. Item 1D, I move to approve the request to rezone approximately 3.349 acres from Urban Reserve District to RM12, which is multi-dwelling residential district, based on the findings of fact presented in staff report, forwarding it to the City Commission with recommendation for approval.
Is there a second to the motion? Commissioner Graham Seconds. Further discussion prior to voting? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion as presented, please raise your hand. All those opposed? Motion carries unanimously 8-0. Commissioner Lease.
I move to approve the request to rezone approximately 4.182 acres from Urban Reserve, this time to PCD, Bob Billings Parkway Center District, to OS Open Space District, based on the findings presented in the staff report, forwarding it to the City Commission with recommendation for approval.
Okay. Second. Commissioner Graham, further discussion prior to voting? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion as presented, please raise your hand. All those opposed? Motion carries unanimously 8-0. Commissioner Lewis.
Okay. The final rezoning prior to preliminary plat is item 1F. And I move to approve the request to rezone approximately 16.619 acres from Urban Reserve District, PCD District, and RS10 District, to CN2 Neighborhood Commercial Center District, based on the findings of fact presented in the staff report, forwarding it to the City Commission with a recommendation for approval.
Thank you. Is there a second? Commissioner Graham seconds. Further discussion prior to voting? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion as presented, please raise your hand. All those opposed? Motion carries 8-0. Commissioner Lease.
All right. Final item is a preliminary plat. I move to approve the preliminary plat of Langston Heights addition, subject to the condition, and that is provision of a revised preliminary plat that graphically shows a access restriction along Bob Billings Parkway and along K-10 Highway.
Is there a second to the motion? Commissioner Graham seconds. Further discussion prior to voting on preliminary plat? I will make one comment that, and it, as it pertains to the communications we received from the League of Women Voters, and I do think at the site planning process at that time, I do think some of the points that they brought up about the access points and safety are valid and need to be and should be addressed at the site planning stage. But other than that, I think the preliminary plat looks good. Any further discussion or comments? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion as presented, please raise your hand. All those opposed? Motion carries 8-0. Okay.
So you get a
phone. Yep.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Thank you, staff.
All right, moving on to item 2, annexation.
Commissioners, this item is for annexation of roughly 25.81 acres. This is associated with the extension of 31st Street from O'Connell to Haskell. Staff report was included in your packet. I do have a map depicting the area if you have questions. And in addition, Chuck Sewells, our Director of Public Works, is also here and can answer any questions that you may have.
I
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was waiting on you there for a moment, but I didn't.
Nope. We do have staff available here to answer any questions that you may have.
All right. Thank you. And this is a non-public hearing item, but if there are members of the public here to comment or have questions about this annexation, we would welcome those comments at this time.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, you may want to hear a little bit about the process that Public Works had with the stakeholders to come up with this alignment and such. Again, Chuck Soles, our Public Works Director's here, if you need to be filled in on that. The memo touched upon mm-hmm. it a little bit, said, told you there was a process, a committee, and took some time, and this helps implement that process and project.
Thank you. Mr. Soles, would you
I'm Chuck Soles. I'm the Public Works Director for the city. I can give you the short version of a very long project. We received an earmark several years ago, I think it says 2006, of about $800,000 to begin design and right-of-way acquisition for 31st Street between Haskell and O'Connell. It's taken us this long, and we didn't have construction funding until in 2009 when KDOT announced through their T-Works program that they were going to build the SLT. With the construction of the SLT, the intersection at 31st and Haskell is going to become an interchange, and the intersection is going to move to service the business park. In order to do that, they are also building about a third of the way between Haskell and O'Connell. So I kind of saw this as an opportunity to partner with KDOT and say, hey, if you're going to build about a third of it, and then they also acquired half of the right-of-way. They actually acquired the whole, you can see the, oh, here, I can do it. This tract here is the Harrison Family Farm. They acquired the whole tract. So which left us with basically about half of the right-of-way that we had to further acquire. So basically just, again, taking the opportunity to partner with them. And then with the SLT project, the size of that project, we hope we will see some economies of scale. So essentially, our project is linked, tied to the SLT bid that's going to happen September 18th. so we got the project designed. KDOT actually acquired all the right-of-way. They handled all the acquisition, all the negotiations. We will have to reimburse them for our right-of-way that they acquired on our behalf. We are paying for the construction, but we're only paying for the construction from the Harrison Family Farms back over to 31st Street. So this was an opportunity. We did enter into an agreement with KDOT. It was a big agreement because it had a lot of SLT parts to it, too, with the rec path that's going to run all the way from Iowa all the way basically out to Haskell now, or O'Connell, because we're tying into that with our project as well. There's maintenance on that, and there were some other things. We've also entered into agreements with them to cooperate on the wetland mitigation. We had about 3 acres that we had to mitigate here. And so essentially where we're at now is we've entered into the agreement to fund it, but in order to fund it, it has to be within the city limits. So we're respectfully requesting that we go ahead and annex this property so we can keep this project moving.
Thank you very much. Any questions that we have for Mr. Scholes while he's up here? Commissioner Jostman? Mm-hmm.
So the reconfigured 31st Street will really curve down.
The alignment,
yeah.
If you can see my pencil over uh-huh. here, is where the intersection is, and it will come across the northern. 31st Street will essentially about remain the same area as it is right now to the northern part of the industrial park. But then it swings way like to the south, and essentially that's because of this area here. it was a big hill, and we'd have to move a lot of dirt. So we followed the contour of the actual ground, and then we brought it back up to the intersection. Yeah. We went through, back in 2006, we had a committee. It had several people on it. We had neighborhood representatives. We had people from the wetland group of the SLT. We had KDOT, we had commissioners, I think we had some planning commissioners. I want to say, were you on it, Eric? Okay. It was a pretty big committee. We met for almost a year. And then the county is actually, they went ahead and they planned the next section on out to Noria, but that's not part of this project. So we went through the whole process. This is the alignment we came up with. Within your packet is the cross section. We're not necessarily going with the typical curb gutter storm sewer system. We wanted it to be more eco-friendly. We have open ditches and bioswales and a landscape median so that we didn't just have all pavement and curb and gutter and stuff.
Any other questions at this point? Thank you very much.
Okay.
Are there other comments of members of the public that would like to speak on this? Please come up to the podium and sign in, and we'll give you, if you're representing yourself, we'll give you 3 minutes to.
I do have a question for the group, so.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. My name is Vicki Burgraff, and I own property that's at the corner of 1300 N Road and 1600 E. This little corner there, right there, was acquired by KDOT, which had my house on it. But we still own approximately 1 acre. That's.
You can point right on.
Okay, right on
the.
Okay. We still own approximately 1 acre that's like right in here. And so my question is, we were told by KDOT that we would still have access to, we have outbuildings still on that 1 acre, and that we would still be allowed access to those, although the access points are going to be now city limits. If this is approved, would the city make sure we still have access to our property? That was my first question.
Okay.
Do you want me to go with the second
one? If you'd like, and then we'll try to address them both.
Okay.
You want to stop the clock for her since it's just a question for me?
And then the second question or concern is for the neighbors that live further east on N1300. Will the traffic, our understanding is there's a roundabout there, will the traffic continue down N1300? Or is it going to be routed north and south from that road when that part is done? Our understanding is the county's not going to continue on their part until a later date. So when traffic gets there, where is it going to go?
Thank you. Scott or Chuck, would you be able to?
Just because we're annexing the property, you know, what we're asking to annex into the city is basically the property that KDOT's acquired for us. It won't affect the access. They're going to build the road out to there, so if you've got a driveway there, you'll be able to access that. So that's not an issue. I don't know where people are going to travel to. It will have a roundabout at the intersection, and if they were going east, they'll go around the roundabout and go east. If they were going up to K-10 or south, they'll do that. So it'll function just like any other intersection.
Can we address that at all? Is that something we can address now? Or is that something that we
But I do want to clarify that what Chuck I think is saying is that it's like any other urbanized road that we have that's urbanized in the city and then transitions to a county road, that we're not planning on cutting off traffic to the existing street there.
Correct.
And I haven't heard that the county is planning that as well. It will remain a public right of way, public street.
Okay,
our concern is, I was on.
And could you state your name, please?
I'm sorry, Karen Heap. I wrote it down.
Okay.
You should. I was on the steering committee for both for the city part and then also for the county part on the extension of North 1300 Road. And At that time, we talked about the fact that as the traffic came down around on 31st Street, there would be the roundabout, and then the goal was to shoot the traffic towards K-10, where that new traffic signal and that intersection is on Highway 10. And our concern is that also in the planning for this roundabout to be here, the 31st Street Extended is going to go to the north of 1300 N, and that will be blocked off so that is a frontage road and not a through road. So that's the concern, that it is now hard surface, and we can just see if the traffic doesn't get routed around the roundabout towards the north, that we're going to have a lot of heavy traffic through on North 1300 Road, which is not built for that kind of traffic that we expect there will be. So that's the concern. Do you have any questions?
No, not seeing any at this point. Thank you for that.
You bet. Thank you.
Comment. Is that something?
I would just say, Ms. Heap speaks of the county design portion to the east, where the road then does kind of go back to the north, and they bring a couple of access points down to the frontage road that some of the neighbors exist on now. That's the ultimate design for it. The presumption is that once this is improved to a light to the north, that behavior of the traffic will take that as a more convenient, efficient route. So, you know, like any street project, you don't really know what the impact is until it's built and the behavior settles down, and then you can get the traffic counted. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't think it's planned to the county's timing on the ultimate design. I don't know that it has a schedule yet, but the roundabout will exist, the road will be improved, it will go up to the light, and will remain open to the east.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions pertaining to that or the annexation itself? Commissioners? Commissioner Lees?
This is a really minor question. When there is an annexation like this, do we not forward it also to county, or does the county's done with it now? Is that how that works?
No, the county sees island annexations, and this is contiguous to the city, but it's over 10 acres, so by policy, the Planning Commission does make a recommendation to the City Commission.
Okay, but we don't get involved with the County Commission on these.
On this one, the County Commission does not review it.
Thank you.
All right, further discussion or motions? I believe so. Were there other comments or questions from the public?
I don't quite understand.
Be sure to tell
I am Bernice Verbank, and I do live on 1300 Road on down a ways, and I just don't quite understand that when you put the roundabout there at the corner of O'Connell and 31st Street, and our road is just a secondary road, but 31st Street Extension won't be built at that time, will it? And so it will throw traffic on down our road.
Good, yes.
Yes, okay, I'm concerned, I guess I'm a little concerned about how you're gonna get them to go on down O'Connell to the light.
Well, the light as a, may I, Mr. Chairman?
Absolutely.
As a controlled access point, typically the behavior of motorists who understand that the access point is there are gonna typically choose to take that route versus an unimproved route. They're usually a little bit quicker. It's paved, it's improved, so it's a little bit easier to drive that route versus get on
our unimproved road.
So you'll maintain the local traffic, but typically the passers through will take that improved section.
Okay. That was my main concern.
Thank you. Other comments or questions from the public or from commissioners about the annexation? Commissioner Lees?
I'd like to thank those of you who joined us tonight, the three of you. Whenever there's an annexation or anything, to me, that big, I always wonder what the citizens who are affected by it think and feel. And I didn't know why you guys were here tonight, because you didn't go up for the first one. So I hate doing this blind and not knowing what people think. So that made it much more clear. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the opportunity. Well, any other questions or comments? Motions? Commissioner Jessren?
I'd move that the Planning Commission authorize the mayor to sign the Department of Army permit number if I'm reading the right motion, I'm reading a motion to the City Commission. This may not be the appropriate motion. Yeah.
Page 104.
Mm-hmm. There we go. I move approval of the requested annexation A1300296 of approximately 25.81 acres located southeast of Murray's Lake between Haskell Avenue and O'Connell Road, based upon the findings of the body of the staff report, and forwarding this request to the City Commission with a recommendation for approval.
Thank you. Is there a second to the motion? Commissioner Lee seconds. Further discussion prior to voting? Hearing none. All those in favor, please indicate by raising your hand. All those opposed? Same sign. Motion passes unanimously, 9-0. Thank you for being here.
Is this your last presentation?
Yes. Item 3 is an amendment to Horizon 2020, Chapter 8, Transportation. Currently, Chapter 8 incorporates the goals and policies of T2030, the previously adopted transportation plan. In March of this year, T2040 was adopted, and this amendment will do the same and incorporate the goals, objectives, and strategies of that plan into Horizon 2020. The general goals in T2040 to improve safety and security, focus on system preservation and economic efficiency, maximize accessibility and mobility, and consider the environment and quality of life. The draft chapter is attached in your staff report, so you can see in detail all of the expansion on those goals with the objectives and strategies that go along with it. Staff does recommend approval of this comprehensive plan amendment, and I can answer any questions along with Todd Girdler. Our transportation planner is also here, and he can address any questions you may have regarding T2040 and that process.
Questions of commissioners at this point? Commissioner Von Hocken?
I just have some very small questions. What's intelligent transportation systems?
Would you like to address that?
I can do
Todd Gerther, Senior Transportation Planner with the Lawrence Douglas County MPO. Intelligent transportation systems refers to a large and rather complex system of institutional relationships as well as technological relationships of lots of equipment that basically talks to each other in order to make the existing traffic lanes and intersections, transit systems, and a host of other transport facilities work more efficiently and more safely. So, I mean, it involves everything from, you know, video detection cameras on left turn cues to prioritization of signals and preemption of signals for EMS and all kinds of things. Anything that, all the technology that you see, like in the Scout system over in Kansas City, that's all ITS stuff. Anything that you'd see in our command center for emergency management, that's a lot of ITS stuff. On a day-to-day basis, the little cameras that tell if you're waiting for a left turn and will cycle signals or and that kind of thing, that's all ITS. So all of that non-pavement stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I have another question. Probably of Michelle, I guess. The three smaller communities in the county, it's my understanding that they can choose to approve this or to come up with their own. Is that right?
Well, I might respond here, and Todd can fill in. The transportation plan that the MPO adopts is countywide. So that's a little bit different than the comprehensive plan that has jurisdiction boundaries that exclude the three cities. So it's a little bit different in terms of the MPO is organized to be the whole county, including all the cities. We have small city representation on the MPO. And so there's a little bit of difference there. So what we're doing tonight is bringing in the transportation plan that's countywide into the comprehensive plan that really is countywide except for the three smaller cities. Is that fair, Todd?
That's a very good and concise description, basically, of a visual aid. This is the Transportation 2040 document approved by the MPO. This covers everything in the county. It sets policy for that, priorities for that. The three small cities can opt to use this or come up with their own transportation plan and adopt that into their comprehensive plans. But, you know, that's up to them.
I'm not sure if
some commissioners may remember that at one point the Planning Commission served as the MPO, and they would recess out of Planning Commission and convene as the MPO. And we changed things around for many different reasons, but, you know, that may be one of them, is that the representation wasn't exactly right on the Planning Commission to speak for the smaller cities. Good question.
Other questions?
Thank you.
Did that answer your question?
It did.
Good. Other questions of commissioners? Okay. Entertain a motion or? And are there two items there that we have to take action on? Okay.
Yeah, there's the actual comprehensive plan amendment, and then there's a Planning Commission resolution that you will need to take action on if you approve the CPA.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Lease?
Having witnessed a lot of this, being on the MPO, I feel good about moving to approve this amendment to the comprehensive plan, Chapter 8, in particular the transportation plan, to update the chapter, reflect the goals and policies of the approved long-range transportation plan, that's Transportation 2040, and we recommend forwarding that amendment to the Lawrence City Commission and Douglas County Commission with a recommendation for approval.
Thank you. Is there a second to the motion? Commissioner Britton?
Wait, I withdraw my second.
Okay.
Second.
All right, Commissioner Kelly. Seconds. Further discussion prior to voting? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion as presented, please indicate by raising your hand. All those opposed, same sign. Motion passes 9-0. Second part to this, is there a motion?
On the resolution, is the resolution included in our packet, or did I just miss it? It's not included. Okay, so it's going to say generally kind of what?
It just states the action of this evening's.
We're just asking, would that be approved?
Yes, we take that to the city and county commissions on comprehensive plan amendments. By state statute, the Planning Commission adopts it. It's confirmed by the county and city commissions, and you have to, by state statute, adopt it by resolution. So we prepare we have a template we use for all of our amendments, and we prepare the resolution, the chair signs it, and we submit that.
Okay, thanks.
Does that answer your question,
yeah,
Commissioner Rice?
I'm curious what we're voting on the resolution, but we didn't get to see what it says.
You're voting to authorize.
It states what you just voted on.
Thank you.
Okay. Good question. Commissioner Lees?
All right. So, to the next order of business along the same lines, I move to approve and sign the Planning Commission Resolution PCR 13-00332 regarding CPA 13-00272.
Okay. Is there a second to the motion? Commissioner Bonhocken seconds. Further discussion on the resolution? Hearing none, all those in favor, please indicate by raising your hand. All those opposed, same sign. Motion passes unanimously, 9-0. Now, do we have two miscellaneous items tonight, or?
Yeah, I was wondering.
Two.
One's
okay.
One's not on this.
I didn't.
Two. We have two of them.
Okay, that's what our agenda said. I just wanted to make sure.
Yes, I'll provide a real quick update on the parking and access standards, since we are moving a little bit slower on our public outreach and survey work with that. We do have it drafted. We're meeting with the communications manager for the city to keep working toward that, to bring maybe a couple of commissioners up to speed. We are working on comprehensive amendments to our parking and access chapter article in the development code. One of the big items was whether or how RVs, boats, and trailers and things would be regulated in the city. And they're essentially not regulated in a well enough, in a high enough fashion to be meaningful for our code enforcement staff right now after the 2006 development code change. And so we've been wanting to get to this amendment for quite some time. It did get reviewed by the Planning Commission. They tasked us with a high level of public outreach and get some survey work done to get some questions answered, and we're in that process right now. And just wanted to let you know that we are working on that. It hasn't been dropped, and it's a work in progress.
Questions? Commissioner Rasmus?
Scott, I'm just curious about the boats and the RVs and the stuff like that. Who's asking you all to draft regulations or restrictions about that? How did that get started?
It got initiated through many of our amendments, our staff initiated, and this particular one came out of many enforcement cases that our enforcement staff often brings us amendment ideas or concepts, and then we take those to the city or commission or planning commission to initiate. And this was wrapped up in a large comprehensive article. But essentially, they've been based on the fact that we don't have the tools we think we do to address enforcement issues in the community.
And what is the health, safety, or welfare concern you're trying to address here?
They're aesthetics, for one. There's some of the safety issues we talked about with visibility as you're going down pedestrian ways in the public right-of-way. Some of it has to do with property maintenance issues, how many RVs, boats, trailers you can have in the front yard. So it's a little bit of the community aesthetic issue as well.
And aesthetics is something that we typically regulate?
We certainly do.
How?
We do through design guidelines. We do through our property maintenance code. Have a number of codes that address junk, trash, debris. We do through setbacks and development patterns. We do through historic review. So there's a number of ways, landscaping.
Thanks.
Commissioner Lees?
I was just, were you at that meeting? I don't remember.
When they brought it up?
Yeah.
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 Okay. The only reason I ask is because I was surprised when I saw some of, when I got those explanations and saw some of the drawings and photos, that it seemed like it really was a safety issue in some cases where people couldn't see what was coming down the road because they go over the sidewalk and stuff. So that was my impression. And I was.
I don't think it was an issue of hanging over the sidewalk.
Well, there were people who.
That was part of the discussion last
yeah.
time.
That discussion last time was that you could already ticket people who were hanging
right.
over the sidewalk, that wasn't an issue for this.
Right. It was that it was just off the right-of-way, but still a visibility issue
yeah.
if the sidewalk is along that right-of-way.
So are you also going to restrict, like, big pickup trucks and
we have
vans,
we have to, that,
minivans? And
that's already part of the code, actually, the size of vehicles. Mm-hmm. We understand we need to take some time and explain it to the commission.
The size of vehicles regulated?
Yes. Yeah, and you cannot park a semi tractor trailer
no,
in
no,
your
no,
driveway.
I meant like I said a big pickup truck, not a semi.
Oh, there are weight limits in our code today.
I guess my point I'm trying to make is that a tall pickup truck cab is not going to be any higher
no.
than some of these than a boat. It's going to be taller.
Right.
It's not going to be any higher than a small RV or a pop-up trailer or a trailer. And so when you're saying this is all safety-oriented, I kind of question that.
I think this is why you tasked us with doing some public outreach, so that you've got good information on weighing all these different values that we're asking you to look
at. I move we abolish tall pickup trucks based upon this.
Well, and minivans?
Absolutely.
And those panel trucks that people use, like for their Shopko tools,
yeah,
or whatever
too.
Those things are,
work
vans.
On a serious note, I did a. Even though nobody showed up to have that hearing last time, people evidently are reading the minutes, because I received a 45-minute phone call on that issue, just in response to us talking about it. So there are people out there that are concerned about the issue. And the issue was a large van, street side. Not sure it's appropriately hooked up by allegations that people were living in it. I mean, it went pretty far, so.
Further comments or questions about the update? Any idea of when we might see that again, Scott?
Next 2 to 3 months, I hope.
Good. Well, thanks for taking the direction of this commission to dive in there a little bit further and get that public input. I think that's, we found we were at a loss to try and make some of those, to really analyze the information without that public input. So thank you for your willingness to do that. I'm sure we'll have further discussions on that when it comes back.
Hours, I'm supposed to, yeah.
All right, any other comments or questions regarding that topic? Okay, miscellaneous item two is the minutes.
Oh, wait, may I have an alibi on that? Scott, would it be possible? Would it be possible when we go forward with these proposed changes, or would you consider, maybe you guys would consider, when you presented that, what was it, back in June? There was a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it was about parking lots at businesses and stuff like that. Can we kind of separate these two issues?
Sure.
Because I think part of it might go through a little smoother if we're focusing on, you know, maybe parking
mm-hmm.
around businesses versus parking of RVs and boats and things like that on
sure.
personal property, maybe.
I mean, we may even want to do a mid-month after we get the survey results back, and we can
mm-hmm.
just keep going into it less formally, and we have discussions and things. That's a great idea.
Thank you for that, Commissioner Rasmussen. That was brought up in our previous discussion, but I'm glad that you clarified that, because it's very comprehensive when you're talking the different components there, and I think it would be worthwhile to try and separate them out if possible. Thank you. Okay. Moving on, I think.
Item two, Mr. Chairman, for those commissioners that had joined us through the two to four meetings we had with the HRC talking about the downtown redevelopment issues, we've got those minutes prepared for you. I think the HRC, either last month or this month, will or has seen them and voted to approve. And so this sets us up, gives us the ability to package it up and take it to the City Commission, along with those memos and those findings, and we'll do that next.
Okay, so do you need action by us? Yes, sir. Okay. Any discussion or questions about the minutes of the joint meeting that we have in front of us? Okay. Moved by Commissioner Josserun. Is there a second? Commissioner Britton seconds. Further discussion prior to voting?
I'm going to abstain because I wasn't there. I'm not part of those minutes, so I'm going to abstain.
Okay. Commissioner Kelly and Commissioner Rasmussen will abstain. Okay. So we'll have three commissioners abstaining that were not present at the these discussions. So that in mind, all those in favor of the motion to accept the minutes, please raise your hand. Okay. All those opposed? Same sign, none. And any abstentions? We have three. Any other business for the Planning Commission before we adjourn this evening?
Best
of luck.
Second man.
All those in favor?
Great. All right. Well, we're adjourned until when is
September
our?
September 11th.
September 11th is our next mid-month meeting.
The 2020 review process. Is it really the 2020 review process, or are we reviewing the future one?
I'm sorry?
Mid-month says 2020 review process. Yeah, are we reviewing the 2020, or are we looking forward?
I think we were hoping to move forward, but we may need to work on a different item.
I think we might.
We're drafting a memo right now for the City Commission and County Commission's review and Planning Commission ultimately about what that process looks like, so I think we need to reconsider.
Yeah, I think we might have to push that back a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Good. All right. Any other business before we adjourn? All right. We're adjourned. Thank you all for being here. Thanks for your time.
Welcome.
Thank you. So, are all the short?
Yeah, right. This is the first time I remember seeing daylight.